Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw. Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Mauricio, certainly the top item coming out of the show, although not the only noteworthy one, is the opening segment, CM Punk making it official, verifying reports earlier that he suffered a torn triceps muscle on his right arm during the Royal Rumble match and is going to miss significant enough time that WrestleMania is out. WrestleMania is still more than 2 months away, but he's going to need surgery, it sounds like, and will miss 4 to 6 months, give or take. He didn't really get into the details on it. They did set up an angle between him and Drew McIntyre, so we know who his first opponent might be, perhaps coming back around SummerSlam time, if not sooner. I thought Punk gave a really good promo, and I bought into the emotion. This has to be heart-wrenching for him, not only to miss WrestleMania, but to play into critics framing him as somewhat brittle or injury-prone, and, you know, obviously, just being blunt, this does not work against that narrative, and he knows it, but he did vow that he isn't quitting. And he tried to keep things in perspective by bringing up a friend of his who his father and a husband who is fighting cancer. And he says he'll come back from this. And it's a big deal, but it's not the end of the world. I thought it was a good showing from Punk and the right thing to do, just lead the show with it and move on. We might not hear Punk's name again until after WrestleMania, but they owed it to fans and to Punk to let him address that. And then it served the purpose of setting up a follow-up. Mauricio, what did you think?
Yeah, like you said, a very emotional, very heartfelt promo from CM Punk, which for every issue you may have with whatever happened in AEW, or maybe you didn't like his first promo returning, you got a candid to the guy, because these last 3 years must have been really tough, because he's gotten 2 major injuries, and now he's going, this is a third major injury, and It's really upsetting. Like you said, a great promo. One of Punk's best promos is returning. It felt very real. It's, once again, sucks for CM Punk to suffer this once again. But, like you said, they did set up this angle with Drew McIntyre, which it could happen at SummerSlam. And while we all agree that the major talking point coming out is CM Punk missing WrestleMania, essentially, I kind of wanted to focus more on Drew McIntyre's promo side of the promo, because once again he's been my favorite part of WWE for the past few months, and this little exchange between him and CM Punk. That's probably the best part of the show for me.
Drew was amazing. I mean, as good as CM Punk was, Drew met the moment. And when he talked about not being a very spiritual person, but he prayed for this and it happened, pointing at Punk's injured arm. I mean, the way he delivered that, it was just like, did he just say that? It was just despicable. And then to say he couldn't sleep the night before because he lost at the Rumble, but when he heard Punk was hurt, he slept like a baby. I mean, just this was as strong heel as Drew has gone in a promo. He still, you know, makes the case that he's justified to feel the way that he does, and he has his argument, but there's no ambiguity here. He got heel heat for it. They have him in a role that I think he is thriving in right now. Just a great moment on the microphone. One of the kind of peak moments for Drew on the microphone. I mean, among, you know, dozens of them in his career, he's had, you know, obviously great moments, but this was at the very top in terms of standing opposite a Punk and just putting in a heel promo for the ages, or at least, well, I mean, yeah, a heel exchange. His role in the exchange was for the ages.
Yeah, like you said, absolutely. Drew is killing it at this moment. I think this is his first. This is the first time he has been heel since nearly 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I think we haven't seen it in so long that it feels something like something very fresh. And once again, like you said, everything he says feels genuine. Even if he's wrong, you always feel like this man truly believes what he's saying, even if it doesn't completely make sense from certain points of view. Right now, Drew is the highlight of the show. And once again, he was also in the main event. And I'm not quite sure what he's going for at WrestleMania. That's my only question.
That is certainly one of the other big topics on this show, is how does Punk's injury affect WrestleMania? And did, in another big segment on the show, Seth Rollins making a case to Cody Rhodes add some drama to what people felt was inevitable, which is that Cody would face Roman Reigns. I am a little worried that Drew McIntyre is going to face Pat McAfee at WrestleMania, based on Pat and Drew having a little spot in the main event when Drew is facing Sammy. I know. I sure hope that's not the case for so many different reasons. But that crossed my mind. Hopefully it's just a throwaway moment meant to give, you know, Sammy a little comeback. But to me, you know, I think Cody still picks Roman, and I think Drew will win the Elimination Chamber and face Seth. I would not rule out Gunther now after everything that's gone down, winning the chamber instead, and Drew being off in a different feud. Or maybe it's a three-way, although I don't think there's any reason to do that at this point, with Seth as a strong babyface and Punk, the other babyface, now out of the picture. What is your – I mean, obviously Rock is still out there, and I do not rule out him being Roman's opponent, and, you know, the Punk injury, and it could be convenient, I guess, to reshuffling things to make room for both Cody and Rock, but I still don't think they're going there, but I think what they did tonight is going to reopen that conversation. Mauricio, what do you think?
Yeah, to me, Seth Rollins making his case to Cody Rhodes to have this rematch at WrestleMania, it really felt like there are two possibilities. Either they are checking if The Rock is available so they could do Rock versus Roman, or Roman is just not going to appear for a few weeks, and this is just their way to stall Cody's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless The Rock is coming back, is coming to face Roman, there is no scenario where Cody faces Seth Rollins.
Exactly, yes. That's the only way, is if it's to make room for Rock against Roman. I don't know how fans would feel about that. You know, Seth can make his case, but I think fans want to see Cody beat Roman, and I think ultimately Cody's speech is going to be, Seth made a strong argument, but he's already made that title prestigious. I believe in WWE too much in the legacy of this title to let Roman keep being a part-time, infrequent defender of that title. And as much as Seth has done for the new World Heavyweight title, I want to do that and more for the Universal title. I think that's a speech we're going to get, but adding a little drama for, you know, a week or two or three is fine. It also, they could milk it past Elimination Chamber if they wanted to add some drama to who wins the chamber. Depending on, you know, who they end up putting in that match, if Cody hasn't made his announcement yet, then that would open everything up in terms of who could win the chamber too. Mauricio.
Yeah. I mean, we also had that backstage segment with Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis where they briefly mentioned doing something for Elimination Chamber. And I don't know. I just assumed they were going for to do like some sort of maybe cross-promotional Elimination Chamber to set up challengers for whoever doesn't have a challenger for WrestleMania. Because technically speaking right now, even though it's pretty obvious who is challenging for which titles Cody and Bayley are challenging, technically, in kayfabe, they technically have to find some way to determine the possibility. To determine challengers in case there is no challengers for WrestleMania. So, like you said, maybe this is their way to set up a cross promotional elimination chamber, one for the men and maybe one for the women.
Yeah, that's my thinking right now, but they've definitely opened up some possibilities and added a little bit extra drama. They got a long time to go between now and Mania. So if Cody doesn't have to start talking definitively about Roman right now, that ultimately might be good in the sense that it'll be fresher by the time they get around to it because he won't necessarily be talking about him for the full path between now and Mania. All right, well, let's pause, Mauricio, and introduce the show, introduce ourselves, and then move to phone calls and emails. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, January 29th, 2024. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show. I'm the editor, publisher, and founder of Pro Wrestling Torch, a long-running weekly newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and the host of various podcasts, some free like this one, and others VIP exclusive like Everything with Rich and Wade, post-PLE roundtables, the Wade Keller hotlines with breaking insider news and start-to-finish TV reviews, and The Fix with Todd Martin, among others. There's lots of VIP shows, lots of VIP benefits. If you're interested in supporting us and getting a ton in return for your membership, check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. Our VIP options do include access on the native Apple Podcasts app, thus Apple CarPlay, and also Spotify through our Patreon option. So check out details, pwtorch.com/govip. But first things first, we are here to talk Raw tonight. We'll probably talk maybe a little about the other big story and stories from last week, especially if callers bring it up with the Netflix deal and then the resignation of Vince McMahon after those tawdry and shameful and I wasn't shocked, sadly. I should have been. But I certainly was disturbed by the details alleged in that lawsuit and the text messages that were replicated in the lawsuit. And we've been covering that for days in various formats, especially on the VIP side of things, but also in articles on pwtorch.com. Zach Barber with an article today at pwtorch.com, critical of how Triple H, Paul Levesque, handled the questioning at the Rumble post-event press conference. And we've got more details on the media coverage so far, also at pwtorch.com. So check that out if you haven't yet, and feel free to sound off about that on today's show. Nick and Tom's Intercontinental Adventure tonight is dropping. They recorded it last Thursday. It's going up tonight with their initial reaction to the Vince McMahon lawsuit also. So for Nick and Tom fans, R-Truth, be sure you listen. Check out their take on the news, reacting in the moment that they were finding out, basically. All right. But as I said, we're here to talk Raw, and tonight's co-host is Mauricio Pomerantz from pwtorch.com. He contributes Raw TV reports alongside mine every Monday night at pwtorch.com. Mauricio, do me the favor, as always, of reminding me the pronunciation of your name, because one of these times I will nail it, and you're going to compliment me for it.
Yeah, you were pretty close this time. It's Pomares.
Pomares, yes.
Yeah, you got it pretty close this time.
I like saying it the way you say it, and someday I'm going to be just get it perfectly. But it's great to have you back. Good to have you on today's show, a newsworthy episode in a number of ways coming out of the Royal Rumble. Nothing like blockbuster shocking, but developments and some good segments, and we'll cover that as the show progresses. And we welcome you joining us in that discussion. We are live streaming right now at WadeKellerPostShow.com. You can always find the link to the live stream at pwtorch.com at the top and bottom of my TV reports and also the top and bottom of Alt Perspective TV reports. Just look for the link. That also includes a phone number and email address. But if you are live streaming us now on Monday night, you are invited to join the conversation. The number to call is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And when you call, push 1 on your keypad if you want to be part of the show. The other way to participate is via email, and that way you don't have to live stream the show if you'd rather listen to it later on demand. That email address is wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Don't let it autofill to wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That is a little less reliable in terms of our spam filter and it forwarding to us. So we have switched to Gmail, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get to our calls and hear what everybody else has to say. We'll start with Ian in Tennessee, and then Hector in Chicago's on deck. Ian, thank you for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. So I was a little actually surprised to see Seth Rollins on Raw tonight. I was thinking about it as you guys were talking about it. Do you think they just did that just to throw people off to – you know, not give away that Cody's going with Roman, or do you think they're just saying, hey, you know, we can do that and just do the Rock Roman match if they go that way?
I am feeling that they are just trying to create some drama to Cody inevitably facing Roman. But admittedly, the CM Punk injury, you know, could change that a little bit. I like Seth defending against Drew. We didn't get anything that confirmed that tonight. I like Seth against Gunther, but if they had done anything to really point you in that direction, it would have undercut what they're trying to do, which is either get people to want to see Cody against Seth or get people to at least think it's going to be Cody Seth to add some drama to the Roman announcement. Mauricio, what are your odds on which scenario that we've talked about, and do you have any other that comes to mind?
No, yeah, I feel very confident we're getting Cody Roman. Like I said, unless they somehow get The Rock to do the Roman match, I don't see Cody versus Rollins happening. As for what Rollins is doing at WrestleMania, I'm not quite sure. Like, you know, it could be Drew McIntyre, it could be Gunther, and now with CM Punk out, and I'm struggling to think of what he's going to do.
Ian, what would you like to see, and what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, my money was on Gunther winning the Rumble, and I still think they could get money out of the Gunther-Seth feud. I don't know if you have Gunther keep the IC title and have him be a double champion, or, you know, how that goes. I think, you know, as you guys were saying earlier, I think everybody wants it to be Cody Roman just for Cody to win the belt. I mean, if Gunther, you know, becomes number one contender, do you see him losing his IC belt before Mania?
I don't think Gunther loses his IC title if he's going to go on to win a world title. I think he'll end up retiring it. I don't think they want Gunther going into a world title run having lost, period, much less losing his title. I think we'd see a tournament afterwards. Mauricio, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, before CM Punk returned, I thought Gunther was my number one pick to challenge Seth Rollins for his title. And I assume that maybe someone like Chad Gable would have won the title last year, maybe by October, November. But since it hasn't really happened, if Gunther were to challenge for the world title, he would do it as Intercontinental Champion. I don't think he would, like, let it go. No, not let it go, but what's the word? Vacate it or retire it. But if he's going to WrestleMania to challenge for Seth Rollins' world title, I still think he will keep the Intercontinental title.
Ian, back to you. Any follow-up on that or anything else you want to add?
Yeah, that's my only thing is if Gunther does it, you know, I could see Gunther be a double champion, but I think that just causes too many issues. I know they tried it with Becky back in 2019 and it didn't really work. But my next point is, you know, looking at Judgment Day, do you think, and it's a very, very interesting scenario, do you see them dropping the belts to Miz and R-Truth at a Mania? You see them drawing this feud out to Mania? Because I don't see why Miz is actually in a feud with Judgment Day at this point.
Mauricio, what do you think of what they're doing with R-Truth and Judgment Day, and what do you think of Ian's suggestion of where they may be headed?
Okay, so I don't mind Miz and R-Truth feuding with Judgment Day, and while I don't think it would be great, I wouldn't mind too much if they challenge for the title at Elimination Chamber. But I really I'm really hoping this isn't their Mania program, because
yeah.
I just don't see it with Miz and Truth. Like, they are fine. The Awesome Truth, I watched that as a kid, and I still don't feel a lot of nostalgia for their act. I don't get how what's that much of the appeal of these feuds. Like, I like Arthur. I think he's fine. Miz, he's kind of just there. Like, this is really fine for Elimination Chamber, but there are so many other teams that could do better work with Judgment Day at WrestleMania instead of Miz and Truth.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't think Miz Truth feels WrestleMania worthy either. I don't think they can spend the next 2+ months on this either, Ian. I think we're going to get something on TV or at Elimination Chamber before WrestleMania. That's my thought too. Ian, what else?
Yeah, it just feels weird because it's like, I get, Truth doing it for like 2 weeks, but then they drew it out and, then, poking fun at him giving him like the money, saying, oh yeah, the merch was like selling off the tables, and then Miz starts trying to intervene. It just felt kind of weird. But my final point, Bayley, I noticed it whenever she said, I'll make the announcement on Friday, that Io looked at her belt. I mean, I'm sure everyone thinks Bayley's going after Io. Do you think that's just the way they go, and they make Bayley face, and they do Bayley Io as a face, or how do you think they handle it?
Yeah. I mean, I think Bayley's headed towards being a babyface, but I also feel they've been sort of unsteady in or augmented the pace of the story with Bayley and the damage control. But having her stand in the ring and say her plan worked out, it's sort of a heelish thing to brag about, but it's also sort of a babyface badge of honor. Hey, I said something was going to happen, and it did, and here I am, and then that leads to dissension in the ranks. Mauricio, where do you think they're heading, and how do they get there?
I think we, for the most part, we all agree that we are heading to Bayley versus Io Sky at WrestleMania. And for the longest time, I've assumed that at some point, Damage Control is going to turn on Bayley. I don't know when it would happen, though. Maybe it could happen this Friday, because Bayley said she would make her announcement on Friday, and Io Sky looked at her title like a little bit worried. So maybe they could do it at that point. Maybe write Bayley off for a few weeks, make it seem like maybe she won't make it, and then have her make a triumphant return to attack Io Sky. The only issue there is, I don't know, I'm not quite sure how you do the Mania match, because it would essentially be Bayley versus the entirety of Damage Control, and Bayley doesn't really have any allies to make that story a bit more, less one-sided.
Ian, any follow-up on that, or anything else?
I just think it's Damage Control turns on Bayley if Bayley does decide to do Io's mess. But one last thing is, where do you think they're going with Becky? Do you think Becky faces Rhea, and do you think they give the belt to Becky, or where do you think that's going?
Yeah, Becky with a brief promo tonight, saying that she feels she'll let people down, but she is determined to push forward. Mauricio, what'd you think of the follow-up? To that, a lot of moving parts. I mean, you got Nia Jax attacking Rhea Ripley. You got Damage Control kind of backing away. Nia Jax intimidating Bayley. Becky vowing that she's going to figure out a way to get back to WrestleMania as a champion. What's your interpretation of that lay of the land?
I think, for the most part, it's been fairly clear that Becky versus Rhea has been the plan for nearly a year now, because I remember shortly after last year of WrestleMania, they were already doing these very short segments where Becky and Rhea would cross paths and then move on. This feels like a very obvious, like they're doing Becky versus Rhea at Armenia. For Nia Jax, I'm assuming they are doing Nia versus Rhea at the Elimination Chamber, and maybe they could even make it the main event, because these Rhea's, they're in Rhea's home country, so it would make sense. At least that's how I see it happening.
Yeah, yeah. Ian, what do you most want to see happen there?
I really want to see Becky Rhea at Mania. I mean, I could, know, I can also see it being Becky Rhea Elimination Chamber and make that the main event since Becky is, you know, main event player. But I personally would like to see a Jay Cargill Rhea match instead if they get Cargill on Raw. I mean, she eliminated Nia at Rumble, and I think that's a big match to make Jay Cargill an automatic main eventer, taking Rhea to the limit, or even, you know, possibly giving her the belt and give Rhea some time off from Raw.
Yeah, I mean, they've got an abundance of options with Jay Cargill, Nia Jax, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Bayley. Obviously, then Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. There's only so many spots in the main event spots that the women have, and so they're going to have to find room for everybody and put them in meaningful matches. And I think it's a nice scenario right now, Mauricio, where you know different fans and different wrestlers can kind of make their case that they could head in different ways. Do you think one of the ways to deal with this is to have a three-way or a fatal four-way at WrestleMania, or do you think between Raw and SmackDown and Elimination Chamber, they kind of give everybody their moment and there's enough other grudge-style matches to have instead, such as maybe Nia versus Jade, if they go with Bayley, Io, and Becky and Ripley, but then, of course, you know, that leaves Belair out. So, just additional thoughts, Mauricio, on that.
Yeah, I mean, between all the names you mentioned, they're in a bit of a... I mean, it's a good problem to have too. Like, you have too many main eventers, but it's there. I think there are matches that are set in stone no matter what. Like Bayley versus Io, that feels personal. Like, it's gonna be a personal feud that there's no space for anyone else. Rhea versus Becky, it's good. They could add Nia to that feud. I wouldn't like it, but there is storyline potential to make that a triple threat. As for Jade, it feels a bit too early for her. Like, I think they always have her at WrestleMania, but I think they could actually do Jade versus Bianca, maybe. Because before last year, I was sure that the match at WrestleMania was going to be Bianca versus Charlotte before Charlotte got injured. So now that could be a match they could do, Jade versus Bianca. That would leave Nia without a match, but... I'm not sure where to place her. And I'm also not sure where to place someone like Naomi. She goes fully back to WWE.
Ian, back to you. Any closing comments?
Yeah, you know, I thought Raw was great. I really was very happy with the Kofi Gunther match. I thought Kofi looked absolutely phenomenal. I'm intrigued to see where they go with the whole Ethereum thing, but I'm going to let you guys get to other callers before I take up too much of your time.
All right, great topic, Ian. Appreciate it. Helped us cover a lot of bases early on here. Yeah, you bet. Long-time contributor to the calls on this show, Ian from Tennessee. You can join us, 347-215-8558. We'll now go to Hector in Chicago and then on deck William in San Diego. Hector, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Thank you. Actually, I didn't watch Raw. I was keeping up on Bleacher Report and clips online. So that's one of the things I'm happy about with Netflix, is I do have Netflix, so I will be able to watch Raw this coming year.
Ah, sure, yeah.
So I'm happy about that. But just watching the clips and stuff, I really enjoyed the Punk and the Punk and Drew promo, and then the Seth promo with Cody. And I was thinking, like, fantasy booking. For if The Rock was available for WrestleMania, how would you feel about if they went away where, like, he came in and he tried to talk, like, let's say Rock's daughter was on SmackDown the other week, and that might have just been for the Rumble, but let's say, assuming she stayed on SmackDown and, like, learned under Nick Aldis, something happens with Roman where he does something to her in a way, talks down on her, and then The Rock comes in, and he, like, comes in to talk to Cody about how this is bigger than a title, this is family, I'm not trying to bigfoot you, but I would like to take care of Roman, and then at least the Seth and Cody, which, I mean, they have the history, so I don't see nothing wrong with that. So that's what I was just thinking about, that The Rock came in to try to talk to Cody in a way where maybe it'll be more understanding, like for the fans and for Cody, where it wouldn't be so much of a backlash if they did something with Roman for like the family issues. But personally, I wouldn't mind Gunther and Seth, and Gunther just winning at Mania. I would prefer that as well. But yeah, that's what I was thinking for when I watched that stuff today on Raw.
Yeah, and I think those are the thoughts they want you to have. And it's going to be a talking point amongst fans. You know, I mean, the people are going to go, I want this scenario for Mania, I want that scenario for Mania, or I'm happy with any of these three or maybe even four different primary scenarios for Mania for the men's, for the two men's headline matches. And tonight did take something that I think people thought, and, you know, the Punk injury along with the Seth pitch to Cody just threw a twist out there. And whether, you know, people want to think they know what's going to happen or not, enjoying the way that they tell the story to land there, I think took a step in the right direction. I think they added some ambiguity, and I think our first two calls indicate that. Mauricio, do you have any problem with the adding the drama of Seth making the pitch for Cody, and do you think Seth did a good job with the pitch? Like, do you think fans are going to sort of buy into that? And then kind of my final, not to complicate the question too much, but do you think it damages Roman and the Universal title to make that big of a deal out of Roman's schedule and start demeaning the title? Because if Cody chooses that to face Roman ultimately, or whoever does, they're fighting for a title that Seth has made the case isn't as prestigious as it once was. Maybe that lingers a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as for Seth's running speech, in terms of what he said, the content, the words, everything, it sort of made sense. Everything he said was kind of true. But at the same time, I think the majority of fans won't buy the possibility of Cody not finishing the story. I mean, not because, like, it would be a little bit annoying that we spent the last year teasing this rematch because you chose to not crown Cody at Mania 39, only to crown him with Seth's title. So in that sense, I don't think it. I like the second, but I don't think it fully works as much as Seth tried.
Yeah, yeah. Hector, back to you. Any follow up on any of that or something else?
Jade, I agree with the co-hosts, Jade and Bianca, when they had that stare down at the Rumble and the Mania sign behind them, that was just perfect. So I do agree with him that mm-hmm. should be the match. If Jade is capable of doing it, but I'm sure she would be by then. Drew, I enjoy Drew lately, but no, that's my least favorite option for Seth and Mania. I would rather prefer Gunther. And also, I think that's about it that I could think of at the moment. But yeah, Jade and Bianca for sure. I mean, it would be nice to see.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, Hector, that's all from you?
Oh, yeah, that was it. Thank you.
All right, cool. Good day from you. Thanks. All right, we'll go to William in San Diego next. William, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, yeah, guys. Good talking to you. Yeah, I guess staying with the topic of Seth and Cody, I feel like Seth was put almost in a bit of a, you know, loose situation, because as soon as he mentioned the possibility of, or when he suggested that Cody do the match against him instead of Roman, people started chanting no, no, no throughout the entire arena, and you just got that shot of 10,000 people plus, or however many people were in attendance, just going no and being against the whole concept. So, you know, regardless of the execution, which I think at the end, I think Seth did a good job with it, with the promo and everything and making the case, but I think they're still obviously headed in the direction of Cody versus Roman. I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't have even done the promo at all. Like, even if they're, I get that they're trying to maybe fill in some time before Mania, between now and Mania, and they're trying to bring some ambiguity or some intrigue as to whether, you know, who's Cody going to go for. But yeah, it just felt like a lose-lose situation for Seth. Like, even if they throw a curveball and they end up doing, you know, Roman versus Rock and Cody versus Seth, we still got that image of a lot of people saying, no, we don't want that. We prefer the other match that you had already teased at the Rumble. And it feels demeaning towards Rollins that it happened. And, you know, the whole premise, it almost felt like he was begging to Cody in a way. In a meta way, it kind of felt like he knew that his possibility at a WrestleMania main event is gone now that CM Punk is injured. So in that meta sense, it almost felt kind of like, you know, Seth begging for a big name match.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of did, but the solution, if you, obviously they're not going for Seth begging to have a big match, because that's not what they're going for, but it did come across that way. But the irony is, if Cody chooses Seth, that almost inevitably means Rock versus Reigns is going to take place, which makes Cody Seth. Like, to me, Seth Gunther is closer to Reigns Cody. Well, I don't know. I had to think about it more. Compared to Seth Cody versus Reigns Rock. Like, if Seth wants to have a match that feels, you know, in the same realm as Roman's match, which is, I think, part of why Seth was willing to embrace or tolerate Punk coming back, even with, you know, some history there that wasn't great. He wanted to have a match that felt like it could be at that level. That's now damaged and delayed, for sure delayed, potentially damaged, I guess, a better way to put it. But I'm not sure that if Cody says yes to Seth and then Rock faces Reigns instead, that means Seth has a match that's going to compete. I mean, quality-wise, it'd be better, but in terms of the attention it gets. So I think Seth's in a bit of a no-win situation if ultimately that's his goal, no matter whether he gets his wish with Cody or not, storyline-wise. Mauricio, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Seth got kind of screwed over. I mean, he's already injured as bad. His WrestleMania opponent is gone. He's not going to be at least your WrestleMania. And he's kind of in a little, like you said, lose-lose situation, because as much as I like that promo, I agree, it kind of sounded like he was begging to make his case, because if it's Seth versus Drew, Seth versus Gunther, or against someone else, that's not going to be a WrestleMania main event. Like, Roman Rock or Roman Cody, that's absolutely going to be a main event, whichever ends up happening. But if we get, let's say, Seth Gunther, in that case, for example, in that case, I think it's more likely that Becky versus Rhea would end up being the main event. Or even Bayley versus Io, because as much as I like Seth, his title reign, he needed CM Punk for his title reign to be a main event of WrestleMania. And he's now a bit stuck now. And he can't even do much because he's injured.
Yeah. Yep. All right. William, back to you.
Yeah, and kind of related to that, you know, it's, I think the universe has kind of a twisted sense of humor here, because I was, you know, recently before the Rumble, I was catching up with a lot of WWE TV and listening to some of your podcasts, and I was listening to the flagship you had with Jason Powell before we even knew what the full extent of Seth Rollins' injury was going to be, you know, if he was going to be able to wrestle at Mania or not, and you guys were talking about, well, is it now kind of a, if Seth can't wrestle, is CM Punk losing his opportunity at a WrestleMania main event? And, I mean, now it's kind of twisted how the opposite happened. Now Rollins is the one who lost the opportunity with CM Punk being injured. But you guys were talking about how, you know, it feels like in that scenario, Becky Rhea would be the obvious main event. So I know you guys have been talking about any potential matches for Rollins, but is it just kind of a foregone conclusion that, you know, no matter how much time there is left between now and Mania, and how they could build any other opponent for him, is the money match now Becky versus Rhea, and is there any opponent, like obvious opponent for Rollins that could reach that main event caliber?
So is there a main event for Seth that reaches main event caliber? Ultimately, that's what you
asked? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, like, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think what happened is, to get to the end first, Punk's injury brings back into question whether Seth's match will conclude night one of WrestleMania if Roman Cody is concluding night two. It also, I think if Cody ends up facing Seth because Rock takes on Roman, then I think Seth can still headline night one or night two if they want to flip him around and have Cody end night two, you know, winning the title, although I don't think it'll feel as fun for fans if Cody, a popular babyface, beats Seth, popular babyface, to complete his journey. I just don't think that's as much of a feel-good moment, having, you know, two guys shake hands and hug or Seth roll out of the ring frustrated while Cody celebrates, compared to Cody ending a historic title reign with Roman. I think it would feel like a consolation prize. The idea would only be to mitigate that. WWE's goal would be to mitigate how much of a consolation prize it felt like by the time they got there to the smallest way possible. But if Gunther is so impressive, and I'm just such a fan of his rise, I think there's a lot of time to make that feel pretty epic. Gunther is special, and he's got momentum. And if it ends up being IC champ versus World Heavyweight Champ, not to merge the titles, but just, you know, Gunther would vacate the title if he won the world title. I think they could make a case for that being the last match on one of the nights, but Becky and Rhea can end. I don't think Bayley and Io Sky could end. And if it's a different women's match, I'm not sure which one you could really end WrestleMania with. I think Becky Ripley is the only one you could really end night one with. Mauricio, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Seth versus Seth, his best option would be versus Cody. And even then, I think Rhea versus Becky feels like a bigger match. The only scenario where I could, it's a very, very difficult scenario to get to, would be where Seth versus Cody happens. Roman versus Rock, for some reason, does not happen. And I don't know who you put against Roman, which wouldn't make him the main event, which would feel weird. But that's like the only case scenario where Seth would main event WrestleMania. If Roman doesn't have a good opponent, if Roman somehow doesn't face either Cody or The Rock, mm-hmm. maybe he faced someone like Randy Orton, like, for example, that would not be WrestleMania main event. And even then, I think there's a chance they would put it on the main event because it's Roman. So yes, I think it's very unlikely he's main eventing any night of WrestleMania this year.
William, back to you. Any follow-up on that or anything else you want to bring up?
Another topic. We got Pat McAfee again on commentary tonight, and it seems like it's going to be, you know, it wasn't just the one-off thing for the Rumble weekend. It's going to be a thing moving forward, which I know I'm probably in the minority because a lot of people love Pat McAfee, but makes me a little sad to see Wade Barrett and Cole not being a duo on commentary anymore for the foreseeable future. What do you guys think of the job that Pat McAfee did tonight? What do you guys think of the switch in commentary teams? I guess they haven't announced, at least that I've seen, what the commentary team is going to be. So what is your guess on that? Is it going to be Wade Barrett doing play-by-play and Corey Graves as the color commentator? Or, I mean, where do you see Barrett going?
Yeah, I know. first of all, I didn't think Pat McAfee was good. And it's not just because of the nonsense with Aaron Rodgers and platforming, just boneheaded conspiracy theories. Pat McAfee's just worn himself out. I was a proponent of his enthusiasm of the WWE product. And, I mean, I'm sure I'm tainted by the stupid Aaron Rodgers stuff, too. But I did enjoy him tonight. I thought he was drawing too much attention to himself, or he just faded away. I don't think he had as much of a grasp on the product. I think Wade Barrett and Corey Graves are both superior color commentators. And I won't say I'm like shocked by this move, but I'm disappointed and a little perplexed. If it means Barrett's going back to NXT, it feels like a demotion for somebody who I think was the best color commentator that they had, in quite a while. I thought Barrett did a great job. But if it means replacing Booker T on NXT, I mean, that is a positive for the third brand. And so I am curious who ends up on SmackDown. Now, if it's Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett, that's good, but I just can't imagine Corey Graves, unless he just needed time off for some reason, between now and, say, WrestleMania or something. So, yeah, I just haven't had a chance to dig into it or ask around. Mauricio, what do you think of that, of Pat McAfee being back on commentary?
I mean, I don't think my opinion matters too much in this issue, at least for this show specifically, because, like I think I've said previously, where I watch Raw, I watch with the Spanish commentary, so
yeah.
I don't know. I've heard Pat McAfee's commentary before, and I'm not fully on board with him. I do appreciate that he's enthusiastic for the product, but at the same time, I kind of find it a little bit annoying. So whenever there are pay-per-views, I actually get to watch with English commentary. And yeah, I'm not very excited to see more of Pat McAfee being a bit annoying on commentary. As for the SmackDown team, I think it would be really cool to have Wade versus and Big Joseph on the team. But yeah, I don't see them. What they would do with Corey Graves if that were to happen.
Yeah.
And also, if Big Joseph moves to the main roster, I'm assuming they would introduce a new guy to commentate on NXT because I don't know who would join Booker T then, because I also don't see Corey Graves going back to NXT.
Right. Maybe Mauro Ranallo. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I throw him out there. He'd be good at the NXT product again. And I think a Mauro Graves or even a Mauro Barrett pairing would work well. So I don't know. We'll see what they have. Hopefully it's not another like baseball announcer who hasn't watched WWE for 35 years. You know, I hope we don't end up in that scenario again. But I doubt with Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon not around that we will get that. William, anything else you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, one last topic. What do you guys think of Andrade being back? And, you know, I guess as someone who doesn't really regularly watch AEW, is there a way you could summarize his time away? You know, any improvement there? Are we getting a better version of Andrade or, you know, pretty much the same? Like, what are your expectations now that he's back? Yeah, that's all I had. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Appreciate it. Yeah, they did draw attention to him being back and had him in a backstage segment, Adam Pearce signing him, and then Nick Aldis coming in, and Adam Pearce puffing out his chest proudly that he had signed him. I mean, Andrade's fine. Some people are – hey, Mauricio, I'm hearing a lot of tapping on your keyboard, by the way, in the background. I don't know if you can mute when you
I said sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so I don't know now I've just blanked out after interrupting my own thoughts. Andrade. Okay. Literally had to steer myself back to my topic. Andrade, I think some people are bigger fans of – I know people are bigger fans of him than I am. I mean, it's not to say I don't enjoy his matches and enjoy him. I just don't think he's like a top-tier guy overall. You know, obviously he can go out there and have really good matches. I like the way Mexico framed him as somebody who's got the Lucha Libre high flying style, but also strong and can hit power moves. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, saying he's 5'9", 230 in terms of his height and weight was interesting to just kind of draw attention to being sub 6 feet. I'm not sure why they do that. Why they did that. They don't do it with very many wrestlers. As far as his time in AEW, it was more the same. I mean, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be with Charlotte in WWE. And so he was sort of used reluctantly. Both sides are sort of, there was tension there and, you know, they got something out of him and gave him a chance to have matches. But in a sense, it didn't jump out as all that different because AEW doesn't really like fully get behind people in the way WWE does. They just sort of have this ensemble of people they drop in the ring for good matches. And it worked well for Andrade in that sense. But I don't think you're getting a better or worse version of him. I think he's the same guy overall, and he'll be a very much upper mid-card, very high on the mid-card utility guy who adds a little bit extra to a little bit extra good wrestling to whatever, you know, whatever show that he's wrestling on. However often he wrestles on Raw and PLE. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a game changer or anything like that, but it's fine. Mauricio, how do you feel about Andrade?
Yeah, like you said, I'm not sure how far he can go now that he's back. I really loved his work when he was in NXT. Like Andrade versus Johnny Gargano is still one of my favorite matches. I watched it. I think it was TakeOver Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. But his run in AEW especially the first half, it was very, good matches, but no real major storylines for him. But by the end, I think he really was starting to get somewhere, especially during his run at during the Continental Classic. But then it just kind of ended because his contract ended. So I think he has a chance to really, I don't know, maybe he's given the chance he could go far, but I don't know. After his performance during the Rumble, I'm not quite sure if they will give him that chance, because he was there for nearly 20 minutes, but aside from one spot with Santos Escobar, he kind of did nothing during the match. And even during this backstage segment, what I came out thinking about after that was that the possibility of they calling up Bron Breakker more than the fact that Andrade was back.
Yeah.
So even if Andrade is fully he commits to everything, he works as hard as he could, I'm not sure if WWE is going to push him to give him the chance to truly go farther than he wants.
Do you think there's potential in Andrade and Charlotte being together on television in any way? And I'm not like pitching them against, you know, Seth and Becky and some sort of mixtape, just in general as an act, like appearing on TV together and displaying their chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening, but no. If it's acknowledged on TV, I think it would be more like what Bianca and Montesfort have, where the WWE acknowledge that they are married, that they are a couple, but they rarely do things on screen together. And after Seth and Becky did their angle in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, I'd rather keep couples separated unless you got a really good idea. I think it rarely works doing these couple angles on TV.
Yeah, exactly. All right, appreciate the call, William. Let's go to AJ in Virginia next, and then Jimmy in New Jersey's on deck. AJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade, how are you?
Good.
Good. So I thought it was a good Raw. I agree with most of the callers. I think Seth is in a tough spot. I think he really needed Punk to match the Cody Roman caliber. And unfortunately, I do think this is the price you pay for being the fighting champion. I think he's sort of overexposed by being on TV so much, by fighting, you know, the top contenders multiple times and so frequently. I mean, he had 3 back-to-back pay-per-views, I think, with Cody months ago, but it feels like it was, you know, pretty recent. He's had so many matches with Drew, and he's a great wrestler. I love Seth as a wrestler, but he should learn from Roman in terms of trying to appear a little bit more special and fighting less frequently. And I think at this point, the only option for him to really be a worthy match is someone like Gunther, just because I don't know if they've ever fought, but I think that would be a little bit different than what we've seen. So I do think this whole fighting champion thing that John Cena was doing at his time, which was to really rein in the new talent, the younger talent, I thought there was something to it. But, you know, if you really want to feel special, you shouldn't have to beg someone to pick you over Roman. I thought that was I thought he did a great job in that promo, Seth did, but he did come across a little desperate because he sees the way people back up Cody, and Cody's a star. He's huge. You know, so I think it will be a misstep if Cody and Seth go at it. I don't think there's a whole lot of appeal there. And I'm hoping Seth can sort of use this as a lesson to sort of, you know, relax a little bit and not fight as much. So that's one point I wanted to share with you.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. I mean, that is another, it's a legitimate a feeling to have watching Seth is desperately trying to have the guy who won the Rumble choose him and making the case for his title being more important. And, you know, there is, I won't say it's undignified, but yeah, it felt like, please pay attention to my title. It's the more important one. And when you have to do that, it doesn't really speak for itself as the most important title. You're admitting it's not perceived that way, at least by Cody. So maybe another angle would have been, you know, that this new title has gained in prestige and it matches Cody's work ethic. And Roman has, I mean, I'm trying to rewrite the promo a little bit or reframe it, but it's coming across almost like the same thing as I try to fix it. Yeah, Mauricio, what do you think of that idea that Seth diminished himself a little bit by begging Cody to choose him? And is there a negative? I mean, Roman goes to the other extreme these days of infrequently defending the title. But is there something about a fighting champion when someone like CM Punk goes down, as AJ's pointing out, suddenly you don't have as many fresh matchups because you wrestled so many people. Gunther's a fresh matchup still. But, you know, Drew and Cody wouldn't feel as fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Seth Rollins promo, but the more I think about it, the more I agree that it really sounds like it's begging to please not be given the chance to main event WrestleMania, and it's not doing him any favors. I like his reign as fighting champion, but I think more than the fact that he faced a lot of the big names before WrestleMania, and now that CM Punk is out, there is no program. I think the problem was that for most of the time, I think Seth always felt a little bit less interesting than the guy who was challenging him. I mean, because during the Judgment Day feud, a lot of people were wondering if the Judgment Day would break up, what would happen to the Judgment Day, and we never got some nothing because Finn never won the title. So even if I think Nakamura didn't do a lot of work, this new presentation was the more interesting part of the feuds. All these new vignettes, everything felt more interesting. And even during the
field to
war games, Cody was the top guy. It was not Seth. Cody was leading the team. I like his reign, but he's always felt a little bit like the less interesting guy. Like he was better as challenging for the title than being the champion. But well, like you said, there is still Seth versus Gunther. Even though technically it's not a first time match, it technically has happened before.
I think that's a good point. Backing that up, AJ, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's interesting you mentioned that because I was at SummerSlam, and I think it was the Seth versus Finn match, I believe. And in that match had so many close calls. And there was a point when Damian Priest came in with the Money in the Bank and the entire crowd just erupted and they wanted Damian Priest to just win or they wanted Finn to win. But at that time, and this was months ago now, right, the crowd was ready to welcome someone other than Seth. And, you know, 6 months later now, we're sort of at a place where Seth is still champion. Judgment Day was really peaking at that time. And had they given the title to, I think, Finn or Damian Priest, I think it would have done wonders for the Judgment Day at that time. If they were to win it now with Seth, if Damian, you know, uses Money in the Bank to beat Seth, I don't think it's going to be as special. Because I think you missed that moment. And Wade, we've talked about this previously, right, about sort of magic in a bottle. And I don't think WWE capitalizes on those peak moments. And to this day, I'll still stand by, Sammy should have beat Roman in Montreal. I mean, just the energy. And you're just never, ever going to top that. I mean, there's no way to ever recreate that. And I think it would have been so special, and people would be talking about that Sammy win over the Montreal Screwjob. So the Montreal Screwjob still tops the you know, Montreal Google search, if you will, over that. But I think WWE does miss out on those opportunities sometimes, and just thinking, let's take the season longer. Let's sort of find a longer arc here. So so that's the one point that I did agree with, that Seth has recently started coming across less interesting than the challenger. And the moment Seth loses, people will embrace whoever beats him, because I think folks, they want to change too. They love Seth, but I think he needs to pass the buck to someone else at this point.
Mauricio, respond to that.
First of all, yes, Sammy should have beaten Roman. Uh-huh. I've been very negative. I've been very negative on previous podcasts about Cody and Roman's story, and that's because Sammy was my guy, and they beat my guy, and I'm still not over it. But moving on to the Seth not being interesting. Yeah, Seth versus Finn at SummerSlam was my match of the night, and it felt a little bit deflating that neither Finn nor Priest came out as champions, and that it ultimately didn't lead anywhere, because, I mean, it led to war games, but there were this breakup of Judgment Day never actually happened, and now Judgment Day is like, they're still good, they still get decent hits, but aside from Rhea Ripley, they don't feel they are not nearly as hot, like you said, they are not nearly as hot. And now, and Damian Priest, I don't know what you do with him, because we've been talking this whole podcast about who is Seth's face, and it's going to be Gunther, it's going to be Drew, it's going to be Cody, it's going to be Sammy. Damian Priest has a briefcase, and he's never been mentioned. Well, I don't know what you do with that briefcase at this point.
Right. Yep, agreed. I will say, I have to give a shout-out. I know, Wade, you talked about this. Several folks talked about this. Drew was just so phenomenal. I've YouTubed and watched that one spiritual bit like 10 times. I'm sharing it with my friends. I mean, it was just so perfect. And he's just getting better and better on the mic. So I had to give him a shout-out. I thought that was the best Drew promo I've seen yet.
Are you okay with Drew winning Elimination Chamber and beating Seth for the title at WrestleMania?
You know, I think Drew deserves to be a world champ, but we've seen Drew versus Seth one too many times, right? So I think he's sort of in that same boat where I don't think he's as overexposed as Seth is, but if he can win the title through someone else, I think that might be a little bit more intriguing. I'm tired of the Seth Drew feud. They've just fought one too many times for my personal taste.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I just had one other comment.
I will continue in a bit.
Oh, sorry. So, so the last thing was CM Punk. Very sad to see his injury. You know, when he was wrestling in the Rumble, I was so nervous watching him wrestle because he's had way too many botches in AEW. And you know, he did really well. And, you know, me and my buddies were all watching him very carefully. We're all sort of rooting for him. And, you know, I started thinking, Wade, about the WWE machine versus AEW, right? So AEW was all about no one scripted, say whatever you want, be whoever you want. And when you perform, when you wrestle, just go above and beyond, what you do. So try to push sort of the envelope, right? That's what you see when you see the AEW matches. And you saw Punk versus Hangman Adam Page, and he's doing that kind of the buckshot lariat over the rope. Like, what the hell are you even thinking, Punk, trying to attempt a move that's just going to embarrass you? And he did it multiple times, and it was just botch after botch. His character in AEW was also not very consistent, if you think about it, right? There are days where he's just hugging and laughing and cheering, and then there's days when he's, you know, a little bit more angry. And you look at him here now in WWE, and it's a very controlled character, right? I'm sure Triple H had a word with him. You got to behave. Here's your script. Kind of stick to it. Add your emotion to it. But the way WWE protected him, right? He came back months ago. He had that one match, dark match with Dom, right, that a few people saw. And since then, the first time he's actually wrestling is in the Rumble in a very protected state, and he stuck to his basic moves. Classic pizza, no toppings, and it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And you didn't need anything else, and the fans loved it. And it was enough. And no one wants Punk to do anything more than he did. So over time, I guess I've just appreciated the sort of scripted nature of WWE. And I was one of those folks who complained about how they're too scripted, right? How they're controlling the characters too much. This is a classic case where someone like Punk, I think it benefits him. And I think they really protected him. And after his injury, I think folks are going to be looking for him to come back because his performance reminded them of the Punk from years ago. And that's all they want to see. That's all we want to see as Punk fans. So I wanted to give that a call out as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm nervous watching Punk because I just need to see him in like five matches in a row where he doesn't end up having to take months off due to some sort of injury. And I thought we accomplished it Saturday, and then it turned out, he had the triceps injury. So now I'm going to be nervous about every Punk match for quite a while when he comes back. And I don't have a solution. I don't know if they're going to pinpoint, you know, if something weird happened or is just another fluke. You know, sometimes there's injuries in sports, and they're like, hey, just because this guy had, you know, his left knee had ligament tears three times in a row, that doesn't mean he's more likely than anyone else to have a fourth one. But there kind of comes a point where you're like, are you sure about that? Is there something about the way the player is built or the way that they play, you know, just the way that they turn or stop or twist that causes it? And, you know, is there something about, and I'm not an expert in evaluating this, but is there something going on with Punk? Not necessarily every injury he's had, but, you know, a couple of them where you're like, is there something going on for a guy in his mid-40s who isn't very bulky in a muscular way, but is tall enough that there's a little more gravity when he is powered down than some – I don't know if gravity is a word, but, like, you have more time to a higher impact upon landing that is going to just cause his body to give out. And, you know, is that going to make WWE gun-shy to really get behind him without always having a B plan or limit him even more in what he does? But I don't know if you can say, you know, to his opponents, you know, here's a list of moves you can't do. I mean, I guess Randy Orton sort of did that for a while because he was injury prone. You know, there's a lot of things that he just didn't want to take a chance with. But, you know, Punk doesn't want to just reduce himself down to a shell of his former self either and not take certain bumps and not do certain moves. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not the best person to obviously decide what moves or bumps he should and shouldn't be taking. But I think that's going to be a conversation that's had with, you know, veteran wrestlers and trainers. And when it comes to Punk at this point, Mauricio, anything you want to add to this discussion?
Yeah. I mean, it's CM Punk. Since 2020, since last year, it's always been a bit of, it's always worrying seeing him. Everything about him is a bit worrying because it's either you're worried that he's going to hurt himself in the ring, or while he was in AEW, I was always worried that something would happen backstage, and it did happen backstage. So
yeah,
it's always this case with CM Punk where He's one of a genuinely excellent talent, but damn it, it's tough to be a fan of CM Punk because there's never this sense that it's all going to be all right. We're going to reach the end of this storyline. And I really thought his last run last year in AEW was going somewhere because he actually got to do a decent amount of matches that were good, that didn't look too like they had many botches. Well, he didn't try anything too complicated like during the Hangman Page match. And yep. I like his match at All In against Samoa Joe. I thought it was a great match. It was his last match also, but it was still great. So
yep, stick to the basics.
But at the same time, he stuck to the basics and still got injured, so I don't know.
The irony, AJ, of what you're saying is he did stick to the basics, and yet he still ended up with, you know, a pretty serious injury.
Here's the difference with that, right? No one's looking at him and saying, you know what, why'd you come back? Wasn't a good showing. Folks are actually behind him this time, right? It's when you have those botches,
right.
That's when it becomes a lasting memory. And it's embarrassing for, you know, the fans to see it and for him as a wrestler to go through it as well. So I think he can hold his, you know, head up high because stuck to the basics, you know, gave everyone his classic moves, which everyone loved. And, you know, injuries happen, but I think WWE is going to be more welcoming for him to come back after his injury. So I think that's probably the main difference this time around.
Yeah, no, I think those are good points. AJ, anything else you want to bring up?
Nope, that's all I have. Thanks for taking my call, Wade. Appreciate
it. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Good talking to you. All right, we'll go to Jimmy in New Jersey next. Jimmy, thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade, how are you? So,
good.
Rumble was great. One thing I want to talk about was Jade Cargill. I thought that Jade looked phenomenal, and not to sound tribalistic at all, but I don't know what is in the WWE recipe that isn't in AEW's, but something about her just popped it a lot differently almost. I guess my main question is, I was surprised that she wasn't a focal point, you know, they did that little Andrade backstage segment. I think they showed her in one of those, you know, Rumble recap packages. Where do we think she lands? Do we think that they go straight for Jade Bianca right away? And in general, where do you see her landing in the context of the women's division in general?
Good question and good point. You know, they talked about different wrestlers who showed up and kind of threw Jade in there with Jordan Grace and Liv Morgan. Mauricio, are you surprised by how they portrayed her and what do you think of her performance? I will say, so I don't forget, I think one of the differences with Jade in the WWE presentation is just who she is sharing the ring with. It's just a stronger division star power wise. In WWE, there's more history there. There's WrestleMania history, some of these women, and they're just better overall workers and more established characters. So you drop her into the middle of that, and I think that's part of it. It's just her circumstances feel more major league and compelling. But, you know, there's other things WWE does also that I think are helping in terms of the atmosphere and presentation. Mauricio, your thoughts on Jade?
I mean, like you said, Jade Cargill had a phenomenal performance. I think the reason why she always felt odd in the AEW because there's only so much AEW can do in terms of presentation. Like aside from All In, every AEW show was going to look smaller when compared to the Royal Rumble, going against possibly all the top stars. Like that she was in the ring at the same time that Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Naomi, Bayley. She was in the ring with all the top stars of WWE. So yeah, well, her presentation during the Rumble was always going to feel a lot bigger and a lot more important. But at the same time, I think by the end of her AEW run, she was really starting to get it working in the ring. Like, I really liked her last match with Chris Statlander. Even if it happened on Rampage, I thought it was great. As for what she does now, I'm not sure if the Bianca match feels it feels too soon, but at the same time, you kind of have to do something with Bianca. You can't leave her out of WrestleMania. And if it's not Jade, the only other option could be maybe Naomi would be an option. But yeah, I mean, Jade had probably the strongest showing during the Rumble. I mean, aside from Bayley, obviously, but one of the most memorable showings, and I assume they're going to capitalize on it, maybe not on this show, but on the road to WrestleMania, to finally introduce her as a regular on the show, on TV.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Seth seeming special by having fewer matches, because Roman feels special by having fewer matches, but Jay's got to pay some dues and get some ring work in, get some reps in, establish herself. Having her be the every once in a while above it all star, I think, you know, I mean, she isn't Logan Paul either in the sense of establishing herself outside of WWE enough to justify it. So, yeah, I mean, I hope one of these weeks, one of these months, we start to see her just be an every week character. And I'm curious how she grows when she's showing up every week. And I hope for and anticipate that that she'll end up being a really compelling top tier player in the mix. Jimmy, back to you.
Yeah, no, great talking points. Wade, you said one thing, and I'm not surprised because I've been following you since I was, God, I think we're going on a decade now. And I'm not going to get into it now because this is a Raw post show. I will email you for the flagship because I hope this is talked about. But you mentioned the AEW's women's division, how it's booked, and the fact that Jade looks stronger based on the WWE talent. And I have so many opinions about where Mercedes/Sasha is likely landing. For that reason, I do not want to go down that rabbit hole right now because it's going to go. We had a lot of long callers, but I do want to have that conversation at some point. So I will email for a flagship, hopefully, because I'm shocked that she's supposed to go in there. But a side point from that, last point, and then I'll go to other callers. We've had some long callers, but great conversation, is Gunther. We have talked about him tonight. Without getting to anything that's going on, we know supposedly where his WrestleMania trajectory was supposedly going. Such a phenomenal talent, you said it. I don't think he's facing Seth. I think that's clear. I think he deserves to, but I just don't see that happening. Maybe it does. Maybe they find some wiggle room now that CM Punk's out, and if that happens, good for him. But if not, he's going to be on the Mania card. I know that fantasy booking, IWC, Okada's a free agent. Everyone keeps saying that'd be a great match. We don't know where that's happening, although I think we know where he's going to land. Everyone keeps saying Chad Gable. I love Chad Gable. He's a great performer. I don't know if he's been built up enough to dethrone Gunther, or let alone have a match at Mania where Gunther just beats him again. So do you think there's some sort of surprise for what they do with Gunther? Are they scrambling to figure it out? And, just really kind of where his plans are. Because I don't think the World Heavyweight Championship is logical at this point. And that's all I have for tonight.
All right, great. Thanks, Jimmy. Good, really good topic there. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Okada. And, I mean, if you're looking to replace CM Punk against Seth with something that would feel special with a big part of the fan base, and you've got a 2+ month lead time, with Paul Levesque, not Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, at the helm, Mauricio, are you intrigued with the notion of Okada either being Gunther's opponent or even Seth's opponent, if you think that they could find a way to tell that story quick enough?
I mean, I personally don't think Okada is going to WWE. If he were to go to WWE, I think most programs right now would work for Seth Rollins, because his major program with CM Punk is now canceled. So Drew, Gunther, Sammy, or in this case Okada, you can build up. We're like 2-3 months away from WrestleMania. If they get started as soon as possible, they could do it, either for Seth or for Gunther. If you could do Okada, they have the time to do it, especially because now their programs are now canceled. But assuming that Okada is not coming, and let's say Seth faces Drew at Mania, Drew and Sammy, whatever. what does Gunther do? I mean, in that case, because apparently his program is also canceled. So if he's not Okada, who faces Gunther?
Yeah. So and yeah, that's his main question. I would say a couple names that come to mind that haven't. I don't think Chad Gable is WrestleMania worthy at this point. I think he had. I'm a fan of his matches, and they're great. His character at its best is mid-card comedy, and when he tried to be a main event character, it just didn't quite work. He could have, you know, top-level matches, but his character just wasn't at the level you need it for him to be on even a short list for WrestleMania, I would argue. Ilya Dragunov from NXT comes to mind as a possible opponent in addition to Okada and Bron Breakker. He essentially might have taken Lesnar's spot in the Rumble, an augmented flurry of, you know, a version of it with a flurry of power moves. They might accelerate Breakker. You know, Nick Aldis got a phone call, and it sounds like he's going to try to get Braun, so that would kind of steer you away from Braun seeming like the logical opponent for Gunther, but I throw Braun out there as an intriguing possibility that if they have 2+ months to, you know, try to tell a story of a top challenger for Gunther, Bron Breakker is an intriguing opponent style-wise for him. So, Mauricio, what do you think of those, and do you have any others?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Bron Breakker, it's a really good choice, especially because it seems like his time in NXT is finally coming to an end, which I think it should have come to an end a bit earlier, but Bron Breakker is, if Gunther doesn't have an opponent, yeah, Bron would be an excellent choice. Dragunov, I mean, he would be an excellent choice, but I think he's going to be on NXT at the very least until Rust takeover. Well, not takeover. What's the one that's in WrestleMania weekend? Stand and Deliver. So I think Dragunov is staying there. I'm still annoyed that during the Gable and Gunther feuds last year, they had during this angle where Gable, with his daughter, that he promised that he would do it for her, and he failed, and they didn't follow up on it on any serious way. So as much as I want Gable, it really doesn't feel like they're going for Gable. The only other name that I saw floating earlier today on Twitter and also during the show was Jey Uso, which in terms of popularity, it could make sense. But I think they're sticking with doing Jey versus Jimmy at Mania, which I don't really care for that. Jey is not my first choice, but if he was to face Gunther at Mania, I wouldn't complain a lot. I think it would be a really good match.
Yeah, and they gave Jey a meaningful win tonight over Bronson Reed. Yep, and I mean, when I say meaningful, I think going into that match, it wasn't a foregone conclusion Jey was going to win. I thought Bronson might win probably via cheating, not straight up, but Jey got a clean win. And so maybe they're building him up a little bit. I mean, basically when Punk goes down, the order, the depth chart changes. So either you drop someone into Punk's spot, like an Okada or Bron Breakker, where you're like, all right, we got somebody who's ready to be a top tier guy. Or you take somebody who's a utility guy like Sammy or Jey, who you think you can warm up or heat up and get them into a higher spot than they kind of normally settle at. And that's the choice they have. And that's the fun part of the journey we're going to be on for the next 8, 9, 10 weeks. So yeah, I mean, Jey's a good name to throw out there also. Anything else you want to add to that, Mauricio?
Let me think for a second. I think that's all. The names. One thing I think about it is, you said Jey beat Bronson, and it wasn't very, very clear. It wasn't obvious that Bronson was going to lose that one.
Yeah.
But one thought that was a little bit weird was that a few weeks ago they had this video package where Bronson said that he was coming for a champion that we didn't expect, and back then I assumed it was going to be Seth Rollins because we had already seen Bronson versus Gunther, and we still have Elimination Chamber which is in Australia, so it wouldn't have been the worst to do Bronson versus Seth in Australia. But now that we won't be Seth won't wrestle on TMania. And Gunther, right. If I'm not mistaken, he can't leave the U.S. for at least for a bit more, so he will miss Elimination Chamber. Did they just cancel Bronson's program ahead of his show in Australia? Because I don't know, I feel a little bad for Bronson in that case.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's go to area code 630. 630, go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from. Are you there? Going once, going twice. All right. All right, so if you want to give us a call, the number is 347-215-8558. When you call push 1 on your keypad, you can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Mauricio, I want to be sure we talk about the, speaking of Gunther, the Kofi Kingston match and what you thought of the execution of that. No one's brought it up yet, so we haven't gone into it, but Kofi lasted 17 minutes, gave a spirited promo, said people think of pancakes and bootios when they think of New Day, but we have won championships, and he said he's going to do that tonight. Gunther also gave a nice promo. I like this match. You know, I mean, again, no, this was one where there wasn't suspense I don't think very many people, I mean, you can buy into the moment, you know, get drawn into it the same way you get drawn into worrying about a hero in a movie maybe dying when you know he's not going to die, but you still get pulled into the jeopardy that the hero is in. But nevertheless, I thought they told a nice story and it was a nice showing for Kofi. Mauricio, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah. Kofi looked great, but I think Gunther matches are always a treat to watch because I think he can work with, I think, anyone. Kofi had a great performance. He's excellent as an underdog, and he will look great here. But I just want to talk about how Gunther, it's been over a month since we had a singles Gunther match on TV, and I really missed it on Raw. The last one was against The Miz, I think, during December, and I needed to see Gunther have a match because he always has my match of the night. I also have this as my match of the night because at the end, Gunther can work with anyone, and this was one of Kofi's better singles performances in a while.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't think he has gotten a lot of singles performances.
All right, let's try 630 one more time. 630, we're trying you again. Go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, thanks for taking my call. This is George from Chicago.
Hey, George, good to talk to you. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
You know, I've been listening, and there's a couple of things that are on my mind about Raw and the basic Mania build. You know, the first thing that really pops out to me is with all the changes that have to be made, I have no problem at all with Cody versus Roman in the main event. The caveat to that is, to me, and I wrote you, and you were kind enough to read my email on the flagship, to me, the biggest match and the biggest way that you could really make WrestleMania 40 pop would be Rock versus Roman, if he's available. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, like I really kind of thought that we'd see Rock at the Royal Rumble, and not seeing him kind of was like, well, maybe it is a plan for another time or down the road or something like that. But that was also with, you know, before all the allegation stuff, and you guys have been awesome with the coverage of that. So I don't really want to get into that, save for the fallout of now you don't get Brock versus Gunther, so you got to replace that match, and then Punk gets hurt, so now we got to deal with that. And you know, in a natural situation, you're like, dude, okay, what can we do to where is the star that we could find to, you know, come in and kind of make WrestleMania, and Rock's right there if he's available. I don't want to take away from Cody's story, but I also understand why Seth came out tonight and was like, okay, you're on my show, but you're talking about another belt. And if, you know, I'm the champion, so kind of I don't want to pander to you, but if I don't come out and, you know, say that you should come and fight me, then, you know, it does make me the secondary champ. I am the secondary champ, but it's really unfortunate that Seth and Cody had had matches together before that, because I think a nice way to not make it seem like Seth was begging for Cody to choose him would have been like, you know what, you better take on Roman because you don't want to come this way. So Roman is your
there you go, yeah.
least resistance to finish your story. And, you know, and also I understand, too, the caller saying, you know, would we be good if Seth wasn't such a fighting champion, because we never want to see these guys get hurt. They're, you know, they're doing their thing and they're putting it on for us. But I'm also kind of a stickler for the old school. Like, you got 30 days to defend a belt and or a title or a championship, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe so you don't pigeonhole yourself in, so you can still have Roman do his thing. Maybe you don't implicitly make that a rule, but maybe that's how you differentiate Seth from other people. Say, I defend my belt in 30 days. That's what this is about. Those are the rules to wrestling, and those are the rules that make this title mean more than that other. That's what makes this a wrestling title versus a sports entertainment belt, if you will. So to me, if possible, I would have still, and I would still go with Roman Rock night two. I'd go with Seth Cody night one, even though it would be really hard to get there right now. And I'd have Priest cash in before we get a resolution to the Seth Cody match, and then kind of go from there. And I just wanted to kind of see what you thought about that.
And just expand on that with Priest, because, you know, we haven't talked a lot about Priest. And, I mean, yeah, there's – Priest isn't going to cash in on Seth if Seth doesn't wrestle between now and Mania, and he's not going to. So
right.
You're saying so – and he could cash in afterwards, obviously, because he's got more time on the clock. But if he catches, you're saying cash in during the match and succeed, or cash in during the match and fail? I want to be clear on what you're thinking.
I'd say cash in during the match and succeed to get, you know, I like the idea of giving Cody more roadblocks. That's why him winning the Royal Rumble, even if he was going to go on to the WrestleMania match, I was like, why would he win the Royal Rumble? Like, let's give him another thing to have to accomplish, to say, you know what, I couldn't win the Royal Rumble, I couldn't finish my story that way, so I got to go to the Elimination Chamber and get in there, and that's my final chance to get in. But to answer your question, I would say let Damian win, and this will I started listening to you after the first Vince McMahon, like, going away type thing, and I appreciate the coverage. Everybody go VIP. But that was my first thing. I was like, I got to hear what Wade's going to say about this. I need to. And from there, I've been with you. And so in my booking awesome. Mind, this will be funny to you, I think, because I think let Damian win the title, and I'm looking at that Final Judgment stable, and I'm like, dude, okay, Karrion Kross is leading the stable. Not with that Halloween mask face. What if we took that stable and moved that over and basically gave it to Damian after he wins the title? Because eventually Judgment Day is going to have to break up. Rhea seems like she's going to go to be a face, and I don't know what's going to happen with Damian. But, and I don't see Karrion Kross as somebody that can lead a stable. If we're going to try and push Damian and give him the belt and cash in the Money in the Bank, maybe down the line, and this might just be super fantasy booking, maybe do that. Or just give him the belt, let Cody win the belt from Roman eventually, because I
George, I think we lost the connection. Mauricio, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I still can hear you.
Yeah, well, I think we got the gist of George before his line cut off there. First things first, Damian Priest cashing in during Cody Seth. Do you like that? Is there a way to execute that? Or augment it if you want. Let's say Cody wins and Priest cashes in right away. Now you've created a whole new barrier for Cody. He didn't beat Roman, but he did beat Seth. He won a world title, but not the world title that he was aiming for. And then he gets to take it away from Priest right away, and now Cody's got to chase Priest again. Does that work or does that not work with what they're doing with Cody, or does it help elevate Priest? And then from there, you can talk about maybe Priest moving on to the Final Testament and maybe replacing Karrion or joining Karrion.
I mean, that was a lot.
Yeah.
I like Damian Priest, but they after SummerSlam, I don't think they have done anything to really build him up to be to the point where him cashing in at Mania will feel like a good moment. Mm-hmm. Like when Seth did it at Mania 31, he was already booked like a decently top star. During mm-hmm. that Mania, he faced Randy Orton. So they built him to a certain point as a top star. So it made sense to book him, to make him cash in during that Mania, during that title match.
Yeah.
Priest hasn't really... I like Priest, but he hasn't really risen to that level yet. And it would feel really underwhelming if Seth versus Cody ends with Priest as champion. And it would also yeah. expose Twitter because Cody doesn't even get to finish this story. Let alone the main one. He doesn't even get to finish the side quest.
Yes. Yeah, totally. It just Lucy taking the ball away from Charlie Brown. Just it gets close and gets taken away. I think there are some complications that come with that. And I agree with you on Priest. I mean, I've enjoyed him over the past year, but he's not, I don't think he's a top guy that you would put the world title on for any length of time. And I don't think he's the guy you'd want to have ruin a WrestleMania match. If they do a good job building it up, they could have, I'm trying to think of a scenario where you can inject, if Seth and Cody wasn't the main event of WrestleMania, it's kind of what I'm thinking. Can you get away with that if then you close with, you know, Becky and Rhea or something like that? But even then, I don't know. Yeah, I think there would be a pretty strong groan and push back. And I think the negative would outweigh whatever positive there is about Cody still needing to achieve what he was doing. Mauricio, anything else you want to add on that? Including going to team with AOP?
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Karrion Kross fan. So I wouldn't mind that. At the same time, at the very least, I want to see at the very least what that group can do before we got Kross out of it. But yeah, I don't see any interest doing Priest and AOP as a group. Like you said, maybe Rhea and Becky is the main event. You could try to cash in with Priest, but at this point, I'm not sure what you do with the briefcase because.
Yeah.
The problem with Priest is, like, he feels like he's the number two guy in Judgment Day, but he's never going to top Rhea Ripley. And,
right.
they can't really do an angle where Priest, like turns Rhea. I mean, he could cost her title, but at the same time, there isn't an easy storyline to tell here. If Finn was the leader that Priest turned on him, that would be one way to do that storyline, to turn Priest into a top guy. But since Rhea is essentially the leader, Priest can't really turn on her, so he's kind of stuck being the second guy in command.
What do you think of what they did with Priest and R-Truth and Judgment Day tonight, with Priest going, I think R-Truth is funny enough, I won't participate in this, but let's go ahead, the rest of you attack him.
I think that what they're trying to do is they're planting very small seeds of Priest as a babyface because for the most part he's like the only guy that sort of tolerated R-Truth until it got him. So, but it's not the first time that they sew these seeds that maybe Priest could be a babyface and never followed up on it. So I don't know it. I mean, it was a decent angle, but as long as this doesn't lead to WrestleMania, I'm cool with that.
Let's see if we can get George back on. George, we lost reception. Are you able to talk, or can we hear you? I'm
yes,
sure
sir.
You can still talk, but can we?
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, we're
can
back.
You hear me
yep.
Okay? I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Yep. It gave us a chance to respond. So, yeah, anything you want to add to what we said or any other topic?
Yeah, Fabrizio, I agree with you. I think they should let that final judgment cook a little bit, but I'm just looking at it like, Judgment Day, especially Rhea, she seems like the jewel, and it seems like she's going to be the face of the female division. And it is hard to figure out something with Priest. And let me ask you guys this. It might be, funny possession is 9/10 of the law thing, but do we get the briefcase off of Priest by the fact that J.D. McDonagh was the one that gave him the new briefcase and maybe – Finn had the contract all along? Does that make any sense?
Mauricio, what do you think of that?
That would be certainly a choice.
it would be something
different. It would be different. But I think
it's like the alternative choice. It's like the alternative electors in Trump's attempt to steal the election. That whole scenario, like, well, we got this other person with a paperwork that it's the original paperwork. Well, right, but you need to earn that paperwork. Holding it doesn't mean it's yours. And yeah, they could
exactly.
do a whole. It could, you know, yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm glad that you and I know that I don't want to run too long. Great to talk to you guys and, you know, great content. The thing that I'll end with is a question about the tag titles. It almost feels like they have done a good job in cultivating tag teams on both brands. And I'm wondering if the plan is to put the tag titles on actual tag teams. Like, R-Truth is entertaining to a point, and, you know, as an African American male, I kind of go back and forth on how I feel about him, but that's cool. But I just don't feel like him and Miz would be like you guys said would be WrestleMania worthy. And I'd love to see the tag teams have more purpose on both shows to have something to fight for. So I'm wondering if maybe that would be part of the plan, and maybe something that would bolster Mania too. Have some decent tag team feuds in the future.
Yeah, I'm a proponent of WWE more consistently adding prestige and attention and depth to their tag team divisions. I mean, I get why they don't to a degree, but I wish there was a little bit more of a deliberate attempt to take people who have been a little overexposed as top tier or top of the second tier, but even top tier singles male wrestlers especially, and have them team up with someone else who maybe isn't at that level or is and is also a little burned out with all the opponents they've had and bring them together. And I think having then full-time – and I mean, Priest and Balor was essentially that, and I think it's worked. Having more of that go on can then help elevate the full-time tag team guys or the full-time tag teams if they're able to then, as tag team specialists, Midnight Express, FTR types – mm-hmm. compete against two people who have headline pay-per-views and world title matches before, or at least one of the two have. I like that, and I'd like to see more attention paid to it. I don't know if Paul Levesque, you know, gets he's not, like, not interested in tag teams, but I don't think he's, like, super excited about them either. So I think we just need more time to kind of figure that out. But I'm a proponent of that, and it does give you more options if you invest in establishing 2-3 tag teams at any given time who you protect and treat as tag team specialists with, so that when you did have a top guy or two team up who are singles wrestlers but clearly bigger stars than the individuals in the tag team, it feels legit that those top stars would have trouble competing on a different playing field, essentially, in the tag team ranks. Mauricio, your thoughts on that in general and any specific ideas you have in relation to what George said?
So, I mean, I sort of agree that the tag division is, for the most part, it feels it's in a better position. Yeah, just this show, we had this really good match between Judgment Day and DIY. But, yeah, I think I like Finn and Damian as tag champions, but I think the reign has gone a bit on too long. Like, I thought mm-hmm. Diego White could have won the titles tonight. I thought the Creed Brothers could have won it earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Or was it last year? But my point is, like, yeah, I think Judgment Day, we're at the point where it feels like they are going to WrestleMania as champions. And looking at the roster, you know, the only babyface team that I could see them maybe challenging would be the New Day, because who else is there? They could maybe do a team from SmackDown, but like the Street Profits. But at this point, the only field is the Miz and R-Truth, and I don't want that one.
No, I agree with you. I think the Creed Brothers would have been a good choice. I think the Street Profits would. New Day is, I like their edge, kind of, sort of, but I just don't like the playing around. Like I mentioned before with the 30-day rule, I like the seriousness, and I like what you said, Wade, about having two main event stars take on a tag team and have an issue. And the thing that, to me, would kind of make a tag teams matter more is that, you know, it seems like when two main event or two single stars take on a tag team, 90% of the time they win. In my book, they shouldn't, because the whole point mm-hmm. of a tag team is this guy knows where the other guy's going to be before he does it. They work together. They have one brain and one purpose. The other two guys are singles guys, and that's why they're singles guys, because their wrestling psychology is different than a tag team. Thus, you know, you throw any two singles guys at a good tag team, the good tag team should beat them all the time, or 90% of the time. And, you know, but again, that's just me. I feel very throwback in a lot of my viewpoints on that, but I think that it's for the betterment of the guys that are working as a tag team.
Yeah. I mean, the Road Warriors during their prime in the 80s were a tag team. I mean, very few singles matches. They weren't even that good at singles matches, but they were just, you know, an amazing tag team for their era, and I got to see them in their prime in the AWA in particular up close. Mm. And they would take on mix and match tag teams and tag team specialists, and both were compelling. You know, the Fabulous Ones came into town and they took them on. They took on the Freebirds, and the Freebirds are kind of a hybrid between tag team specialists and top-tier singles guys who teamed up and were an effective tag team. And but then you had, like, they teamed Bruiser Brody Jerry Blackwell, Crusher Jerry Blackwell, and King Kong Bundy as these two fat guys, basically, as the heels would call them. And just covering myself there. And it was like, oh God, the Warriors have missed their match. Their moves aren't going to work. They're not going to be able to lift them out of their shoulders and all that. And it was fun. I know the Warriors are the best example because they were such a physically intimidating team. Maybe the Midnight Express, Fabulous Ones, Rock and Roll Express, that, you know, if we're talking about that era, is a better example, or the Rockers, the Rougeos. But the Road Warriors were really compelling because sometimes they'd take on a tag team specialist. Other times it'd be two singles guys who would team up with the idea of trying to take them down. You had Dusty and Magnum, which then led to Dusty and Nikita. You just, you know, so you, there's cool examples if you know wrestling history, and Paul Levesque does. So if he set his mind to this, he can be looking for circumstances where we're like, all right, who's our Dusty? Who's our Nikita? Let's have a moment. Let's put them together. But on a separate track, you've got the tag team specialists doing their thing, and then it becomes a compelling match. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's room to grow in WWE in that regard for sure. But I'm, you know, I mean, DIY getting, I mean, obviously, Levesque has a soft spot for his NXT people, and we see that in his booking on the main roster, almost as a equal and opposite reaction to Vince screwing him over multiple times. And so that's fun to see, and sometimes that does involve tag teams getting just due like DIY. George, anything else you want to close with?
No, other than thanks again, first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I will definitely be in touch, and everybody go VIP and have a good evening. Thanks again, guys, for Beat Show. Have a good night.
Thank you, George. Great Bye-bye. Finally talking to you, and I hope you will call again. Yep, have a good night. Mauricio, we got along here. Anything else you want to bring up from your notes or your thoughts on the show before we sign off here?
Let me take a quick peek. I mean, there's only two matches that we haven't really talked about, and which were both the women's tag team matches. And
yeah,
there's not much to say.
I agree. Yep.
I mean, one thing I think I can say about like Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, which is just the Green and Paper Niven, is that during this short duration, the crowd will very clearly cheer when Chelsea going tag team. And I think there is a little bit of potential to eventually turn Chelsea going babyface, because I think the crowd is really starting to like her antics, her gimmick. Mm-hmm. Like they find her funny. They're really starting to get into her. I wish her match lasted more than 2 minutes, but this wasn't a show for the women this week, aside from the Bayley. And now that I think about it, the Kabuki Warriors match lasted 10 minutes. I guess there was not much to it because the crowd kind of didn't care. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Chelsea and Niven have a chance to have kind of a cult following as a babyface team. And I just think, I mean, Chelsea's such a good heel, and Piper Niven's so good playing off of her with her pouty body language and facial expressions. I wouldn't want to rush into it. But I think eventually, if you kept them together, and I think it's smart because Chelsea's not a top-tier in-ring worker, but a really interesting character, and Niven can absolutely carry that into things. So they can, they can be like Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy. I'll pull my Freebird reference out there, where Hayes was the bombastic personality, but not the best worker, and a good psychologist, you know, good ring psychologist, but not the greatest athlete. And you know, Gordy was just Terry Gordy's top level, and Niven is, you know, top level in terms of what would be asked of her in the ring. So something along those lines, but turning that baby face maybe down the line would work, especially because, yeah, they're Chelsea Green, and their chemistry is entertaining. Cool. Mauricio, it was great reuniting with you here on the post show. We'll do this again.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks to our callers. By the way, Greg Park scheduled to join me on the flagship tomorrow, and so we've got some emails we didn't get to tonight. We'll put them in the flagship tomorrow and for consideration, and you can add to it. WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. Get your questions in Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, and if all goes as planned, we'll include some of your emails in the flagship that Greg and I will be recording tomorrow night. Thanks, Mauricio. Thanks, callers. And thanks, listeners. And we'll talk to you all next time.
See ya.